The 1970 corn blight in the United States destroyed millions of acres of corn. The U.S. was lucky to find a strain of land-raised corn originally from Mexico that could resist the blight. In the year 2000, Dr. Chapella discovered genetically modified corn growing in this remote area. The Campesino farmers had bought kernels of unlabeled American GM corn from their local government store to eat. And as farmers have done for thousands of years, they ate some and planted some.
Farmers make no difference between seed and grain for the obvious reason that grains are seeds and are viable seeds. They have a little embryo. They have the little baby inside the seed, and if you put it in the ground, it will germinate.
The genetically modified seed crossed with the land-raised corn, and contamination entered the gene line of this ancient grain.
Ese maíz se come, se está vendiendo a toda la población y en todo México, supongo.
Porque no saben en realidad qué
no,
consecuencias
pues es que
puede tener.
Es un maíz para consumo humano. Entonces, ¿cómo va a ser malo, no?
It is cheaper for Mexicans to buy imported corn from the United States than it is to grow it themselves. This is because American corn is subsidized by the taxpayers, whereas Mexican corn is not subsidized. Nevertheless, many Mexicans prefer to grow their native corn varieties.
¿Por qué usted está tan necio de estar plantando la misma semilla en
esta región?
¿Cuál no comprar?
Bueno, nosotros lo tomamos como un ahorro, porque también a veces, digamos, falta de económico, pues no tenemos que correr a la CONASUR para comprarlo. Sin embargo, estamos comiendo, según nosotros estamos comiendo lo mejor, porque es un maíz que es...
¿Todo eso? Sí. Es que el trabajo que ustedes hacen aquí es un trabajo que reditúa, pero para el mundo.
Sí.
The farmers said, if we do have transgenic elements in our corn, is it going to be like our colleague in Canada? Will the multinational companies come and demand payment for the presence of the gene?
In November 2001, Dr. Chapella published a peer-reviewed paper in the science journal Nature revealing the GMO contamination.
We took this very seriously from the beginning, and we have been doing studies and collecting samples and sending them around, trying first to duplicate Ignacio Chapella's results, which we did, and now going a step further and identify this problem.
This is an issue that is a bit contentious, because we didn't want to in any way jeopardize our genetic heritage. The first thing is, we didn't want that to happen. Whether that is going to have other consequences, well, that's a matter of debate. The fact is, those sequences were not supposed to be in those corns, and they are now. And that's a big problem for us.
What happens when you introduce into these areas a single genotype, the one industrial crop that preferentially passes its genes into the progeny? What happens is basically you crowd out that diversity. And this in the long term is a major threat to food security. Not only for those people who live there, but also for us, also for our industrial production of food. If we do not have access to those genetic resources, we're going to be facing challenges that we are not going to be able to solve.
It is not just genetically modified corn that has raised patenting issues in Mexico.
Current international system of patents does not protect in any way traditional knowledge, and we have had a number of problems in Mexico related to that. I think there are three or four applications for patents for tortillas. Like it was a new thing, like somebody had invented tortillas, which of course have existed for 3,000, 5,000 years, we don't know. First of all, some people will debate, and I think it is a worthwhile debate, if life should be patented at all. And that's a discussion that humanity as a species hasn't done properly. and it is a sort of pending homework, something we need to do.
By the year 2003, the U.S. had sold millions of pounds of GMO corn to Mexico for less than the cost of growing it. Around the world, resistance was mounting against the U.S. exported genetically modified crops. The loss of corn exports to Europe is worth around $300 million a year. This has only compounded the farm crisis in North America.
On the one side of the farmer, there's the oil and natural gas companies and fertilizer companies, seed and chemical and machinery companies and banks. And then the farmer is literally in the middle of an agri-food chain. Downstream, there's processors, railways, grain companies, restaurants, packers, etc. And what's happened in that chain is each link, with the exception of the farm link, is being dominated by fewer and fewer, larger and larger corporations. Those huge corporations that face little competition are able to extract extremely large revenues and profits out of that chain and leave very little for the family farmers. And what the family farmers do get is quickly snatched away by chemical and seed and fertilizer companies who themselves have tremendous market power.
Farmers are not the ones making the money. There's money being made on both sides of the farmers, but not the farmers.
When you put a dollar and a half on the counter for a loaf of bread, that money then moves through the hands of the retailer. And these are $10 billion corporations with only one or two competitors. And the miller that makes the flour can do the same thing. The grain company that sourced the grain, and by the time it gets back to the farm, there's only a nickel left. And of that nickel, you've got those powerful input suppliers on the other side who can take that nickel right out of the farmer's pocket.
I just did a study of the economic costs and benefits of BT corn. The official USDA statistics show that the cost of producing a bushel of corn is about $3.20 or $3.40, and the net return to the farmers maybe $2.20. So they're losing a dollar on every bushel. And one might ask, well, how is a businessman, if you're losing a dollar on every unit that you sell and you're growing 140 per acre, so you're losing like $140 an acre, how can you stay in business? And the answer is government subsidies.
Subsidies support the most widely grown crops, corn, wheat, cotton, and soybeans. These are the crops that the industry has targeted as the first GMO crops.
So if you're an agribusiness company producing inputs into a market, and especially inputs that are going to be more expensive, it must be reassuring to you to know that regardless of how big the gap is between what the farmers get from the market and what it costs them to produce, the government's going to be there to make up that difference.